Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we are going to take a little parenthesis because of the events today on our series in Genesis. And we're going to focus today upon the death and the burial, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus in the Lord's Supper. Now, church family, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and in one-on-one times on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, the Lord's Supper was given to us by our Lord, and we know the question comes always in the Lord's Supper. And first of all, let me say this. The Lord's Supper is designed for the remembrance of God's people, for us to remember what the death, burial, and the resurrection is all about, what the Lord Jesus has done for us. There are different ways that through the years people have looked at the Lord's Supper. There are some models of the Lord's Supper that believe that the actual elements become the body and the blood of Jesus. As a matter of fact, in some places they believe that what we are going to do is salvific. If you can understand that word, I have learned what that means, and it means that it's a part of salvation. To say something is salvific, it means when you do it, you are being saved by doing that. Some people believe that taking the elements of the Lord's Supper, the elements actually become the body and the blood of Jesus, and that is called transubstantiation. All right? Now, there's another view that is different than ours. Our view is that we do this as a remembrance, as a memorial of what Christ has done. It is a time for us to remember what Christ has done for us. But there is another view that is known as consubstantiation, that means that the essence of the body and the blood are in here. It's not, maybe doesn't become the body and the blood, but the essence are there. And the way they phrase that, it is the body and the blood is in, with, and under the elements. So once again, there is an attempt to say that there's something about these elements that become divine or more than a memorial. But one of the things I would say to you is the reason that we believe in our church that this is a memorial and to be done to remember is because Jesus said these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." That is foundational to the way the evangelical church through centuries has understood the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not done in order to be saved. The Lord's Supper is done because we are saved. So if you have given your life to Jesus, we invite you to participate. Now, some churches, they have what they call a closed communion. You have to be a member of that church in order to participate in the Lord's Supper with that church. And we understand that view. There's not a lot of angst about all these things. Some churches believe that way. That's the way to do it. Some believe in what is called open communion, that we just say anybody that just wants to take the Lord's Supper can do it. We don't take that view either. We believe that the people that are invited to take the Lord's Supper in our fellowship are people that believe that salvation comes to people the way we believe it as our church. You may be visiting with us today with one of your college students. You may be visiting us today to see about North Central, and maybe perhaps this might be your church family. You are a follower of Jesus. You have given your life to Christ. You have followed him in believer's baptism, which is the first act of obedience. And you basically believe that salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone. That means you have the same view of how a person comes to know Christ. Salvation is by Jesus Christ and faith alone, in Christ alone. And so if that is what you believe and you have done that, then you are invited to participate. Now, we don't have a Lord's Supper police. We're not going to tell somebody that maybe you shouldn't have the Lord's Supper. No. But I will just say this to you as the pastor of this church. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then it's not appropriate for you to have the Lord's Supper. And that is not to be negative or to knock. And no one should feel funny about that. We have folks here that are looking into the life of Christ. They have been invited. They are looking at the claims of Christ. They are studying the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. They're wondering if Christ could change their life, and they're thinking about putting their faith and trust in Christ, but they have not done that. And if that's you, don't feel compelled that you have to participate in the Lord's Supper. But let me say this. This is a service that is very important to the body of Christ. Amen. This is a service that is very meaningful. As a matter of fact, I have memories my whole life. When growing up, we had the Lord's Supper on Sunday nights, and we've done it here on Sunday nights at North Central for many, many years as well, and we do it some on Sunday morning. Now pretty much we're doing it always on Sunday morning, but I have so many memories as a young believer, as a teenage boy, coming in to the Lord's Supper and contemplating what Christ has done for me, the way he's changed my life, and that's why this is so meaningful. Some churches do the Lord's Supper every service. Some churches wait a long, long time for the Lord's Supper. Jesus said this, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till I come, and you do this in remembrance of me. So he doesn't really give us a mandated time. Are you to do it every service? Are you to do it twice a year? In our pattern has been about every 6 weeks. Sometimes it's a little quicker. Sometimes it may be a little longer. But here's my thought on it, and if you've ever wondered why we do it the way we do it, I think this is the pattern North Central has pretty much taken all through its history. But the way I believe about it and the way I think our people believe about it is this. You don't want to do it so often that it loses its significance and it's not special. But you also don't want to wait so long that it just takes forever to get to a Lord's Supper service. So we have found that about 4 to 6 to 7 weeks is a good period of time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Now, we find the Apostle Paul's comments about the Lord's Supper in our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following. So I'm going to read this from my copy of God's Word, if you'll follow along in your copy. And I'm going to read through verse 30. This is 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus, blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," verse 28, "and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." I think to take the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus in an unworthy manner, I've thought about that a lot, and I think the best I can understand that is when we don't have an authentic, tender bent and love for the Lord Jesus with unconfessed sin in our life, knowing we're out of fellowship with the Lord. What does the Lord say to us? He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a believer in Christ, there are times when we do things that disappoint the Lord. We sin against the Lord. You say, "Pastor, you mean that as a Christian, we're not perfect?" Hello, yes. We sin often. And I've learned this. The people that I respect the most in their walk with Jesus are normally those that are the most humble about their failures. It's not the one that is cocky about how wonderful they are that is the closest to the Lord. It's normally the one under conviction. And so I would just say that as you take the Lord's Supper today, I'm going to give you a few moments to contemplate your walk with the Lord. And I would just say the same thing that I say to myself when I take the Lord's Supper. Lord, show me areas that I need to adjust. Show me areas I need to make right with you. Because the Lord takes it very seriously that we're right with him as a believer when we take the Lord's Supper. Now, in this passage, there are four quick things that I gave to our team to put up on the screen. And I'm just going to go through them very, very quickly. Here's four things about the Lord's Supper. It is a remembrance of the life and the death of our Lord. In verses 24 and 25, we see he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." This was a remembrance of the life and the death of our Lord. And then in verse 25, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for us, all right? The second thing I would say is it announces the basic facts of the gospel. The Lord's Supper does this, and I have noticed, and I'm praying that this happens today. This is often a service when someone that does not know Christ comes to know Christ. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," what are you doing? You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So it announces the basic facts of the gospel. And then the third thing is it announces his coming again. Notice the end of verse 26, it says, "till he comes." Church family, Jesus is coming again. It could be at any moment. And I remember Evangelist Eddie Martin, who came to North Central when I was a youth pastor here and preached. He told me, he said, "Calvin, the greatest truth for the salvation of the lost is the basic gospel of Jesus, the Romans road of salvation, the best way we understand the gospel, that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and if we will put our faith and trust in him, we can be saved." But here's what Eddie Martin told me. He said the second greatest encouragement for people to be saved is that Jesus is coming again. And so in the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the Lord's death when? Till he comes. And then the fourth thing is this. It reminds us of our oneness and the way we are interdependent upon one another when we take the Lord's Supper. We are one body in Christ, and we need one another. Church family, listen to me. This is something important. I thought this through, and I want to say this to you. This is one of the reasons you don't take the Lord's Supper as an individual. Have you ever thought about that? You go on vacation with your family. You don't say, hey, you know, this is a really important night. We're all together. Let's do the Lord's Supper together. You don't do that. The Lord's Supper is meant for the body of believers. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth in this passage, and he says, go back to chapter 10 and verse 17. This is interesting. Verse 17, he says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So as a church family, we do this as a body of believers, and what it does is it demonstrates to us that we need one another. Patrick, I need you, brother. You need me. You don't know it, but you need me too. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, no, the point I'm trying to make is we need one another. And there are gifts that you have in this fellowship that if you don't give those gifts out, we won't get the blessing of that. That's why it's a miracle. By the way, can I just say this? A church is a miracle. Let me say this. Unity in the church is a miracle. Amen? It is, in all seriousness. And church family, the Lord's Supper is a reminder. We do this together as a family, as a church family. It's a reminder that every member of the body of Christ is important. Every member is important.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.